Hello and hearty welcomes to the Mummy Logs, a wireless theatre original exploring in our first season some astute words on what some of us think about mummydom. My name is Sarah Golding, hello, and I am the production manager for Wireless. And thank you so, so much to all who submitted Mummy Log scripts. We appreciated reading every single one. Now, our Mummy Log winners were chosen by members of the Wireless team, including founder Marielle Renneker-Temple and Fiona Thrale. So, huzzas and grateful thanks to all of our finalists, who, in no particular order, were Maria Connolly, Elizabeth Bauer, Andrea Hoyle, and Charlie Cowan. So, here is our first monologue from the superbly talented Theda Woods. Theda's beautiful piece is entitled New Mum, and performed with respectful porcelain gloves by the ever-astounding Saffron Kumba.
It's a big day for you. 6, 7, 8, 9. And what is this one? 10! Yay! So you have to dress up in your best onesie. You do? Yeah? That's it. It's a bit big, isn't it? But you'll grow so fast. And you're going to have lots of clothes soon. Beautiful new clothes and toys, so many toys, your own ones. Maybe one of those bears with your name on it, your new name. Yes, you're getting a new name too. Who's a lucky little boy? They'll choose you a good, strong name. One to match your new surname, one to match your new happy, happy life. And you'll get a new mum. Here, see this crown on my head? This beautiful golden crown. Isn't it shiny? Can you see it all shiny? Of course you can. Well, I'm going to take it off. And you can wear it for a little while. Oh, it's heavy, isn't it? All that responsibility on your tiny little head. But when your new mummy finds you, then she can put it on. Because I can't wear something like this. Just not old enough yet. I still need my mummy just like you. She'll throw me out. Your new mummy will be married, like a respectable mum should be. She'll be clever, just like you'll be. She'll already have her O-levels, maybe even A-levels too. She'll have a daddy with her to love you and look after you. And they can give you everything you need. Everything in the world. All of it new. And when you're big and grown up and ready to make your own life in the world, maybe you'll notice she's wearing this crown right here. And you won't even know it's had more than one wearer. Because hand-me-downs won't be a thing for you. Everything new. Everything. Oh. She's here. Now you listen to me. This isn't your new mummy. This is your foster mummy. And she'll love you too. But she'll have to pass you on too. And no getting attached. No giving away that crown. your new mummy finds you, you'll know. Okay. You just have to be a patient boy. Oh, three mummies so quickly. Three times the love. You are. You, my darling, are the luckiest boy in the world. Yes, you are. The luckiest boy in the world. Now, adoption, I imagine, has some of the most visceral emotions at its core, and while we loved very much that piece delivered with devastatingly pure emotion, I'm sure you'll agree, by Saffron Kuma. Now, links to her can be found in the show notes, and she was in our most recent release, Geezer Bird, and if you are a casting director, make sure Saffron is to be cast forthwith in everything you make. Now, Theda, who wrote that piece, said, I'm a mum now, myself, and when I'm not looking after the family, I enjoy writing, painting, and going for long walks with the dog. This mummy log was based on what I've discovered was the reality of attitudes in the 1960s and 1970s in the UK, when people like myself were put up for adoption. So do please browse our show notes for useful links if you're affected by any of these issues explored in this podcast for support and guidance, and oh, thank you, Theda, for starting us off with some true depth of emotion and, well, sharing some heartfelt moments of mummydom. Now, this next piece doesn't really have the same sentiment on mums. It may perhaps ring true and resonate for those with more spiritual mums and speaks of a yearning for connectivity, but perhaps not with each other. Here is One Thing I Have Learned, written and performed by the super amazing Tash Desbra.
My mum was spiritual. She saw things I couldn't see. Felt things I couldn't feel. In a way, she was otherworldly herself. Ethereal. Elusive. Detached. And all I ever wanted
was for us to connect, for her to notice me. As a child, she told me about the mysterious tree fairies, and I willed them to reveal themselves.
But she told me in no uncertain terms that they only appeared to good people.
She could see the tree fairies, I couldn't. So I knew from an early age that I probably wasn't good.
Oh no, see, I'm still cross.
This is a sacred place, Tash. I looked up at my mother as we stood together in the centre of the stone circle.
Her eyes were softly closed, and so I copied her, scrunching up my eyelids as tightly as I could. She squeezed my little hand softly.
Peasants, noblemen, children, and so many witches. They have all stood on this enchanted spot over thousands of years. Fill yourself with their ancient wisdom. Mum inhaled loudly. What do your senses tell you, Tash?
I breathed in deeply too, as the manure-spreading tractor in the next field made a 360-degree turn.
they tell me that ancient wisdom smells of poo, Mummy.
Poo, Mummy. Poo, Mummy. Poo, Mummy. Mummy. Mummy.
She said I was wrong.
And I believed her.
But still, I tried to connect with her.
Really tried. As an adult, I've had one-way conversations with standoffish standing stones. I've attempted transmitting telepathically through a Mayan crystal skull. I've sidestepped spectral snakes that I simply couldn't see. I've laid low in ley lines, loath to reveal their location. But I still couldn't reach her. And gradually, this otherworldly mother of mine began to fade. Ethereal. Elusive. Detached. A ghost.
A ghost.
Surrounded by the tree fairies.
Surrounded by the tree fairies that I was never going to see. One thing I've learned. Ancient wisdom really does smell of poo.
There is maybe, possibly, a child in us all that will perhaps forever find the word poo funny. Thank you, Tash, brilliant writer and creator of Giza Bird, our most recent wireless original drama comedy charting elements of life of a 90s DJ, erotophobic virgin Sammy, navigating workplace misogyny and attitudes to sex and being sexualized. This is a must listen for all and a nostalgic look at some of the good and bad aspects of 90s popular culture and attitudes. Now, Tash shares that she is writing from my kitchen table with a cat on my shoulder in Croydon. Her favourite quote about mummyhood is one from her own mind, which says, I quote, "Whenever I think I'm a rubbish parent, I remind myself that the mum in E.T. had an actual alien living in her house for days and didn't even notice. And that makes me feel so much better." Which brings us, suitably, to our next piece, where there's some comedic attitude now from writer Charlie Tundrin. I hope I said that right. A writer with Scandinavian roots who says about mummyhood, "It's the hardest thing I have ever done on the daily. But the love I have for my kids is more powerful and immense than any teen grump or
Mom, you're so embarrassing
can stop." We are meant to be embarrassing because we're kids inside too. Yep, I agree with you, Charlie, wholeheartedly. I say I'm 22 inside, but oh, truly, I have the sense of humour of a 9-year-old sometimes. Pile it on. And incidentally, here's our next piece. Musing on piles. Piles of stuff. You know, the ones piles on piles. You don't have to have kids in the family to have them either. So unless you've a showroom-type house-cleaning ethic, this one might resonate with you. The Perpetual Struggle, or Piles for Miles, by Charlie Tundrin. Read by Sarah Golding. I felt like giving up this morning, and yesterday, and Thursday, and a week ago Sunday, and just then, and before that, but I didn't. Because in my mind, my tiny, insignificant, universally built, unique, chocolate and Earl Grey fueled, gently neurodiverse mind, this is all there is. But I have built it and me to here and now. And if I give up that, then what's been the point? The tearing, the tearing, the financial struggle, the emotional roller coaster, the heartache, the pride, the love, the love, the love, the struggle on mind and matter. I mean, it all matters. Because there's atoms, aren't there? Atoms. Eons of hereditary DNA of twisting, twirling, spirals of life and love and laughing and lolloping about. Just
fizzling with the joys and tribulations of life, but muddling on through the ages. The war-torn, tragedy-surviving, love-giving, faith-making, laugh-sharing, dancing, prancing, thriving legacy of life. So, I can't give up yet, because what a waste I'd be to every mum who's gone before. It's hard, isn't it, being a mum? It isn't easy to pigeonhole exactly what it entails these days, mummydom, and I'm sure behind every door there will be all sorts of types of mums. Legendary ones, quiet, weary ones, scattergun, scatterbrain, clatter, crockery by the clockery ones, and ones that do everything by the clock and with neat, nail-clipped show houses, and not a thing, not a hair, not a sliver of out of place. Do you know anyone like that? Just perfect behind closed doors, in front of them and over my threshold and all. Not even the good Lord knows how they keep it together. In weaker times, when I'm craving tea, just before Aunt Flo arrives, the bitch, I'd like to sometimes think that they don't. Those neat freaks, those nethers togethers, that there's at least one shitty room in their perfect showroom house with a whole bunch of stuff just thrown in, nearly up to the ceiling. Yeah, piles for miles. Hey, perhaps even a small child was trapped in there by mistake one day, and rather than admit it, they just stay in there. In this mile-pile room, making beds in old furniture and copies of Hello magazine, and that nun-mum. She throws in food now and then, over the top of the bags and old tat she doesn't want, over the top of old wardrobes and broken tellies and cracked desks and fizzled hairdryers and bags of scraps of crap someone got them once for tokens of friendship or love or because they thought they'd like it. And the child stays until it's big enough to open the window and climb out and seek some new life. Yeah, I think on that when I'm in those houses of mums who have it together. Or maybe I am just one of those lost children in a mile-pile room that turned into a mile-pile house. I mean, we've all got foibles, haven't we? Flaws. I need to remember that. I mean, no mum really knows what they're doing from day to day, eh? Not really. No one ever tells you that, though. We make it up, you know, as we go. Masking, pretending, surviving. It's nice to muse on that. Sitting here with me cracked two mugs of tea and me odd socks and never matching underwear and broken glasses I keep forgetting to fix. And all is frayed, and the crayon on the walls claims the house as my own. Signed, marked, and... Oh, is that the time? Oh, I need to drink up and shut up now. I must clean up before the cleaner comes round. Oh, look at this. It's a nightmare. Oh, Charlie, I'm with you. I'm buried, quite frankly. Charlie says about motherhood, there are never any rugs big enough to sweep everything under, eh? I think there's always that weird battle between what you daydream mummyhood to be like, what it could be, and reality. I personally owe a lot to the mums that were part of postnatal groups as my kids grew, and they made me comfortable and safe going out and trying new places and things. I feel, even now, with my youngest around 18 now, how wonderful it is to still connect with those mums who, like me, may not at first have known at all what they were supposed to be doing and still don't. See, we make it up every day, don't we? And maybe that's a secret worth sharing. No one really knows what they're doing, people. I mean, everyone's just making it up as they go along, and some are just better at masking sheer panic and lack of common sense or knowledge than others, right? Now, our next piece is Children of Whispers and Dreams and is written and performed by the super amazing Georgia McKenzie. Now, Georgia is in California, buried beneath a lazy cat. I see an animal theme here in our writers. she says, "Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children." I've always taken that to mean that, as a mother, you are your child's entire world, and to respect the honour, joy, and power of it. Enjoy.
I hear them heading down the stairs, and it makes me laugh. They're little kids trying to sneak up on me, Mom, and see what this holiday breakfast is going to be. So there's a lot of, "Stop pushing," and, "Be quiet." "No, you be quiet," announcing their presence. "Don't worry. I know the rules. Even if you hear them coming, when it's a surprise, you act surprised. Good parent, good kid compact rules. I don't have to look. It's the holiday routine." Jenna's hair is a mess, pulled from her braids by her usual aerobic sleeping habits. She's been a roller and a kicker since month 3. A fierce little warrior who pushed against my womb with a burning desire to get out and explore. I craved spicy food and new restaurants carrying her, and when I wanted her to settle down, I had to play Prodigy and Baby Metal. She still loves those. Andre is behind his big sister, fussing at her for rushing him. At 4, he took the comb from my hands and announced he could handle his hair himself. And he's never looked back. He's partially dressed because Jenna forced him to quit. I'll hear the full complaint over breakfast, and he'll eat slowly, the gears in his mind turning over and over as he analyzes every bite, asking me about all the ingredients, needing to know where they came from and why I used them. The mom eyes at the back of my head witness the slump as he slides down each step, trailing Jenna's thundering run to the bottom of the stairs. I wait for the impact of their bodies, almost hearing their muscles tense and push off in the run to hug me as tight as they can, each pair of arms fighting in a sibling rivalry I should dissuade, but I secretly enjoy like the finest liquor, and it never comes. The steps behind me, the briefest brush of arms dissipate around me. The loving warmth never comes. It's the little gasp when I turn around that brings tears to my eyes. I should remember they aren't here. They will never be here. I lost my chance to have them many, many years ago. Some of my friends say I'm a natural mother. I could be right, could be wrong. I do seem to collect people who need mothering. A word of encouragement here, a little covert financial boost there, an open ear and sealed lips when needed. I've got the mentorships, the interns who visit to get career advice years later, an email address overflowing with invitations to join charities, orgs, events. Sure, sometimes we make a meal with what we have, not what we want. I've done okay. The home, the pets, the work. It's very fulfilling on its own. Every so often in the deep, sweet stillness of night, though, I smell a whiff of children's soap I've never bought. I hear a whispered conversation in what would have been the playroom. And just before I succumb to sleep, 2 small bodies stealth beside me. Their gentle breathing merges with mine as we slip into the world of might have been.
In her own words, by day, GP McKenzie, Georgia, works on organizing and people power. By night, they slack off and sleep. Somewhere in the twilight hours, they write, voice act, and train their cats as part of a scheme to take over the world. There have been some setbacks. You can find Georgia at the helm of the podcast Fast Track to 40, which is very much worth a pursuit of a listen. Links in the show notes. And thank you, Georgia, for your contribution. Beautifully told. Now, our next mummy log delves into a mother's protective love in a different way. Here's The Promise by the fantastically talented Margaret Hilstead, performed by the wonderful Fiona Thrale.
He said he'd be here at 9 to pick her up. He promised he'd planned the perfect father and daughter day. Nothing would go wrong this time. He'd drop her back around 6. You don't get dawn choruses the way you used to. But I was already awake when I heard the call and response of 2 blackbirds as it was starting to get light. Creeping down to the kitchen, I made myself a large mug of coffee, moving as quietly as possible so as not to wake her. At 7:15, she joined me. Morning. There were shadows under her eyes, and I knew that she hadn't slept well either. It's 9:30 now, and she's getting restless, jumping up from the table, clattering plates in the dishwasher, flicking through a magazine, snapping at me when I try to speak. I squeeze past her chair to empty the laundry basket into the washing machine. She's sitting with her arms folded and her long legs stretched out in front of her. Her face is pale, and she looks at one and the same time, both older and younger than her 12 years. There's a crunch of footsteps on the gravel at the front of the house, and we look up. She gets to her feet and hurries out of the room. I hear the rattle of the letterbox and a thump as the postman pushes the mail through, followed by the crunch of his retreating footsteps. I carry on loading up the washing machine and switch it on. She hasn't come back into the kitchen, so I go looking for her. She's standing by the living room window, watching the movement of traffic on the road outside. I join her, and we wait silently together. A young family passes by the house. Mother, father, and a small boy. He's walking between them, holding their hands. And as we watch, they swing him up into the air and back to the ground. He laughs and shouts, "Again, again!" I rest my hand on my daughter's shoulder. But she shakes it off and swiftly leaves the room. I hear the creak of the stairs and the slamming of the bedroom door. My phone pings and I pick it up. I know what he'll say before I read his message. I go out into the back garden and collect the daffodil bulbs and 2 trowels from the shed. As I shut the door and turn round, I see her looking down at me from her bedroom window. Moments pass as I work my way steadily along the border, turning the earth, pushing the bulbs into the dark soil and covering them up. A shadow falls over my busy hands, and she crouches down next to me and manages a beautiful smile. I hand her the 2nd trowel and we carry on working in rhythm, the sun warm on our backs.
Pause for thought on that one. So many difficult days waded through under the weight of unconditional love. Now, it was written by Margaret Hilstead, who also passed on this lively quote from Nora Ephron. When your children are teenagers, it's important to have a dog so that someone in the house is happy to see you. Margaret is a freelance publisher's editor and published writer and writes in her spare time. Her work has appeared in book, magazine and newspaper form and has been performed on stage and read on BBC Radio Bristol. And she's also done some wireless work before, which was a beautiful delight to learn. So please do hunt her other works down. Links are in the show notes. Which brings us to our final piece by Jeff Tullin, performed beautifully by this super effervescent Floyd Kennedy.
I wasn't expecting to become a mum at my age. The thing is, I'm what most people would have called a career woman, you know? In my line of work, it was definitely more of a man's world. 20 years banging your head against the glass ceiling will give you a headache that needs a bit more than a couple of ibuprofen. Oh, yeah. Prosecco for me, thank you very much. Yeah. You needed to be first in, last out, nothing too much trouble, smile at all the jokes and grit your teeth at the innuendo, if you know what I mean. And the travel, my God, there were weeks when I never saw the inside of my own home. Can you believe that? It's hard to maintain a relationship through that, you know? The sad fact is, it's practically impossible to start one. Or one that'll last more than a few hours, if you see what I mean. So, on the one hand, I worked my way up the ladder. Well, as far as I was allowed to go. But it's a commitment. It does not allow for a home life. By 2019, I'd had enough and made enough, so lockdown sealed the deal. And I left work to start a small business from home. Doing what? Oh, this and that. I make key rings, jewellery, and placemats for Etsy. It's ticking over. Anyway, one thing led to another, and now, here I am, with a new mouth to feed. I named her Rosie, after my mum. She's 3 now and a proper handful. I had no idea how much I'd end up loving her after all those years on my own. But that's how it goes. Some nights, I hear the bedroom door swing open, and in she comes. Mum!
Mum!
Can I sleep next to you?
Please, Mummy. Can I? Can I?
I shouldn't let her, really, but honestly, how can I refuse? Well, of course, the house is rather a mess these days, but it's worth it. She's a bit of a fussy eater, though. Oh, there she goes. Excuse me a minute. Oh, sorry about the smell. I think a litter tray needs changing. Here, push, 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 push. Here, Rosie. Tea time.
Did you guess it, did you? Now, our writer, Jeff Tullin from Nottingham, UK, said, when asked for his favourite quote, gave us this one of an unknown origin. There's no way to be a perfect mother, but there's a million ways to be a good one. Jeff lives in the Midlands with his wife, Deborah, and currently 0 cats. He recently retired and took the opportunity to return to his love of drama and writing. Ah, happy writing, Jeff. We're very glad to have one of your lovely works so beautifully performed by Floyd Kennedy, who, incidentally, writes and produces a podcast called Am I Old Yet?, which is all about a superhero OAP and her adventures on Earth with some Greek gods and more. It's great fun. Do go find it and send her a review, why don't you? Well, I'm sorry, folks. That's the end of our first Mummy Logs collection. And if you want more, tell us. Please do. Please help ping this out into the universe. We have been delighted by our newfound new writing in celebration and reflection on all sorts of ways and means of being a mum. So, to reach more ears needing a pick-me-up and some audio wireless fun, please do share it out into the world, review, and pass it on. Now, I personally am blessed with, I think, one of the world's best mums ever made. So, if you do see her, Liz, say hello. You're amazing. But I know many do struggle with this often most vital of relationships. And as a mum, I make
countless mistakes every day, but again, I do feel so very humbled to even spend one day in the role of mum. I mean, it comes with feelings of the most extreme joy imaginable, doesn't it? But also is the most worrisome, terrifying daily existence for some. Now, I think I have many friends and other family members who have mummied me into the person I am today too. The nights out with other mums discussing our various woes and hilarious shenanigans with our teens are often the highlights of the year and, well, after listening to this, a collaboration of many truly lovely and very talented folks, we do hope that you too feel inspired to pick up a phone or take some lovely chocks or gin or your good self round to share a cuppa with your own or meet and share and listen with other mums and chat about what you might write in a future mummy log. I must say, here, full disclosure, the music is by my own son, Thomas Golding. This is a composition he is working on for his GCSE music. Isn't he a talented little soul, eh? He's taller than me, actually. And yes, I did pay him for use. He's a better businessman than I'll ever be. So thank you also to all of our winning writers once more. Theda Woods, Natasha Desbra, Charlie Tundrin, Georgia McKenzie, Margaret Hillstead and Jeff Tullin. And our performers, Saffron Kuma, Natasha Desbra, Fiona Thrale, Georgia McKenzie, Floyd Kennedy and, well, I won't thank me because it has been an utter pleasure and we do hope you have enjoyed it. An unknown person said, a mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. We do hope this podcast does the same. This has been a Wireless Theatre original production. Please do share, rate and review, or contact us on sarah@wirelesstheatre.co.uk. Thank you for listening.